You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He is Mike Leach. He is the head coach at Washington State. Mike, I know you're on vacation. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Mike.
We're doing great. So just so you know, Jeff Phelps is here. He is my partner. I'm Andy Baskin. I know you have a Jeff Phelps who is your defensive line coach, so I don't want you to be confused.
Yeah, we sure do.
Actually, Jeff used to work for Jerry Kill at Northern Illinois, and I talked to Jerry about Jeff years ago.
Yeah. Now, Jerry's put out some really good coaches and won everywhere he was ever at.
Well, Mike, we really want to get you on because, you know, we're looking at the Browns right now and how they're going to have – a little bit more of an air raid offense. And, I mean, you're one of the fathers of this thing. So tell me a little bit more about what Browns fans can expect with an air raid offense and having Baker Mayfield running the show.
Well, I think Baker Mayfield's a good player. I mean, we're the first BCS team to offer Baker Mayfield, and he didn't get very many offers at all. As a matter of fact, he ended up walking on at Texas Tech. But we offered him, wanted him to come out to Washington State, and he wanted to stay around Texas. First of all, a lot of the NFL is running air raid stuff. And then of those that aren't, then some are saying they are. I don't know who exactly is calling the plays for the Browns now, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Mike, what's the basic principle of the air raid offense, what you run at Washington State, what you've run at other places you've been, Oklahoma, Kentucky?
You know, the biggest thing is you want to attack the whole field and you want to get it in everybody's hands. And I really think that any offense that's any good does that. And they, you know, like, for example, the wishbone does that. And originally some of our philosophy came from the wishbone, which is, again, the same thing, be able to attack the whole field, and they do it aggressively horizontally, but they're better upfield than people think. And then, but every one of those, the backs and the skill guys touch the ball. And so you're trying to design plays that will put you in the position to do that.
Mike, can that offense run the way you run it at Washington State, run the same thing in the NFL? I mean, do you think it translates?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, all these NFL guys, they get way out over their skis. I mean, you got all these guys running around that are 30-something that think all of a sudden they're coaching in the NFL, so they got a lot smarter, and then you watch some of them playing, they got a lot dumber. And, you know, all of a sudden, well, they're at some level and somehow they're special, yet all these guys came out of college and they all came out of high schools just like everybody else. And all of a sudden, there's something special. You can't do it there. Now, more absurd words have never been said when they say stuff like that. That's just flat out insane. You know, well, our defensive ends are this good. Well, what do they think? I'm playing with a high school offensive lineman. I mean, it's crazy.
Mike, Freddie Kitchens is the guy that's going to be calling plays as the head coach. What do you think about the fact of having the head coach call the plays or run a defense or run an offense? And how difficult is it? Like, I think it was Jim Tressel that said to me once, I was like, you know, he said, if I'm not calling the plays, what am I doing?
Well, I've always called the plays. I mean, I've never quit calling the plays. I got into football to coach, and so I figured once I was lucky enough to be a head coach, then, you get a sweater and pretty soon they want you to go shake a bunch of dignitaries' hands. But, you know, I got into to coach, so I've always tried to keep coaching.
Mike, and I'm going to ask you this. Do you have any relationship with Freddie Kitchens? Do you know Freddie at all?
The closest degree that I know Freddie Kitchens is when I was coaching at the University of Kentucky, we beat Alabama in Lexington for the first time in 75 years. Alabama had beaten Kentucky, for 75 years, and they played most of those 75 years too. So if you think about it, that's a crazy, crazy, crazy long time.
That is nuts.
And And, I mean, even George Blanda was in the locker room after we won. I mean, just like all these UK guys from history, you know. And yeah, Freddie was the quarterback for Alabama that day.
Awesome. You're a very open guy. And, you know, to listen to you, we're thrilled to have you on the show because we know you just talk and you say what's on your mind and you give honest answers, which isn't typical of many coaches. Freddie seems like a similar spirit to you. He's just going to tell you what he thinks and be very open. Have you had pitfalls with that? Would you give him any advice on how to approach this thing? Because he talked about being honest. You're honest to a fault, Mike.
Well, I think that's the thing. And then you have less to keep track of. Even if they don't like what you say, you don't have to sit and remember everything, keep track of everything. You know, you just kind of roll forward. And then the other thing, you know, if you equivocate and you try to embellish either way, well, then they'll get a hold of that and they'll start twisting your words around. You know, if you keep it straight down the middle and straightforward, then there's less form to fiddle with, too, you know.
That's great. Good advice.
Mike, let's talk about your relationship with Baker Mayfield. You said, you know, you were the first ones, D1 team, to want to go after him and have him there. I'm sure you probably did. Were you hearing rumblings about him when you were at Texas Tech? And what are your thoughts about him? I mean, this is a guy that has turned the city upside down here in Cleveland with just love to watch this kid play.
Well, we saw him on film. He played at Lake Travis. Lake Travis always threw the ball. And, you know, they always threw the ball. And then so we just really got conscious of him on film. But Lake Travis was a school we were going to look at because of that. And then we liked him. And he was and back then he was undersized. He was kind of a skinny guy that would, you know, threw the ball well, very competitive, and would kind of scamper around. And now we just liked him. You know, we liked him. We wanted him to come to Washington State and all that. And then, you know, he delayed. And then we ended up, you know, getting a guy committed. And then he continued to shop around, didn't really find anything. And again, walked on at Tech. And then eventually left Tech and went to OU.
Mike Leach joining us.
Had some good conversations with him on the phone. Can't say I know him great, just kind of recruiting talk, you know.
You like what he's done in the NFL so far?
Oh, yeah, I think he's done a really good job. The most impressive thing was, you know, to adjust quickly and to be able to go out there. And, you know, because anytime a rookie plays, it's impressive, and he's done a good job.
You had Tim Couch at Kentucky. We had him here. And we always thought that Tim got a raw deal here because he got thrown in early behind on a team, that an expansion team that probably wasn't ready. Were you surprised that Tim's career didn't turn out better here, Mike, based on what you saw at Kentucky?
Yeah. Well, while he was plagued with injuries there, so in college he's never injured. I mean, like, never scratched, really. And then all of a sudden goes to the NFL and he's injured nonstop. And so I think that was a problem. I think, and then one of the biggest problems of all was you know, you got Tim Couch, who's athletic and has good feet, but he runs a 4.9, and he's the second leading rusher for Cleveland every year he's there. Well, if he's the second, and he's a second leading rusher running for his life. So, yeah, I mean, they were a few players short, and to throw him in the middle of it, that was a tough deal.
Hey, Mike, I just want to ask you, since we're sitting here in Ohio, your thoughts on Urban Meyer retiring?
Oh, shoot. Well, good guy, a very good guy. I like Urban, and I've known him for quite a long time. You know, I think, I don't know. I think it's good. I guess I'm like a lot of people. I don't think this is just going to simply be gallop off into the sunset and that's the end, you know. Urban burns hot, so there's a point to where, you know, it's tough to sustain it at the pace he goes. But then, you know, but I do think he's very passionate about football and will stay close to it, if not get back, you know.
Mike, earlier on in our show, we were talking about Michigan offering a scholarship to a kid who's in seventh grade right now. And you've seen other schools do that and all. If you're a D1 coach, as you are, how do you do that and live up to your word? And it just, the lack of a real commitment there on either side makes it seem really weird to me.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's just kind of, I don't know their reasons or anything. It's just, when I've seen it before, just kind of pub and hype. But sometimes there is a kid that's kind of a special player in seventh grade, and he can really do some stuff. And, you know, he's real athletic. And then all of a sudden, you know, pretty soon he's got a mustache, a beard, and kind of his man muscles, and stays exactly the same size. By eighth grade, he's the same size he was in seventh. And so if that's the case with this kid, hopefully by his senior year, they'll still take him if he still looks, if he's nothing more than a bearded seventh grader, you know. I've had some guys that I thought, God, I can't wait till this guy's a senior. Wait till he's a senior. Wait till he's. And then, son of a gun, the guy just matured early, and as he's beating up on all the other seventh graders. I mean, by the time he's in ninth grade, he just looks like a thick seventh grader, you know.
Oh, hey, Mike, recruiting Ohio a little bit for you. You got Jameer Thomas, a kid coming out of Massillon. Is it tough to recruit Ohio when you're sitting on the rolling hills of the Palouse, or they get out there and they're like, oh, this is awesome?
Well, if anybody wants to get away, I mean, they love it. I mean, we've got a really charming town there, and it's a true college town with a lot of energy, and everything centers around the university, and especially anybody wanting to get out of an urban setting. I mean, once they get there, they really like it. The hardest thing is they don't have an initial visual of it, and if they, you know, they've never been there, so it's not like they've seen it on TV or say, oh, I think it looks like this. You have to get them out there.
Is it an easy sell? I mean, I look up and down your roster, and I'm like, well, pretty much everyone's like Spokane or Washington or Idaho or out west, and to try to pull a kid from the other side of the river, I think that's got to be tough, but, I mean, you kind of touched on it.
Well, we've got several Florida guys. Yeah. But Florida guys, a lot of times, whether the kid was born in Florida or not, their family is all from somewhere else, you know. So Florida, we got some Florida guys. We've got a couple Georgia guys. Got some Louisiana guys. Got some Texas guys. So we throw kind of a broad net. If they can play, if they're interested, we're definitely interested in that. And then there were some coaches out there at Massillon that had some connections to Washington State.
Very cool.
Mike, with Pat Mahomes stepping in at Kansas City, and after sitting for a year, stepping in and seeing what he's done, I want to go back to something you said earlier. If there was any doubt that a wide-open air raid concept offense can work in the NFL, if there was any doubt, it's been thrown out the window now, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, the last two Super Bowls have been the air raid versus air raid. New England's been doing it for a long time. And then Andy Reid, of course, he's got BYU roots like I do. So, when I've had the opportunity to go to his practices, they remind me of ours, you know.
All right, Mike, well, we're going to let you go here. Are you fishing while you're down in Florida? What are you doing down there? What's your vacation like?
Well, it's been kind of cool weather. It's been cool and breezy. I might go Friday.
What are you hoping to catch?
Whatever bites the hook. But honestly, my favorite, you know, if you can catch a wahoo, that's like, I like eating it the best. And then also they're big and they fight like crazy.
Mike, we really appreciate your time. Tell Pat Chun, we'll tell Pat that you deserve a raise just for hanging out with us this afternoon.
No, that'd be outstanding. Yeah, Pat needs all the encouragement he can get. He's doing a great job there. But we got to stay on his list there.
We do. Well, he's a Cleveland guy. That's why. So that's why.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you can't have too many of those. The guy that wrote all those great movies, the Paul Verhoeven movies. He's from Cleveland. I read his books, Joe Esterhaas.
Yeah.
Joe Esterhaas. I read all the books written by Joe Esterhaas I could get a hold of. Great screenwriter from Cleveland, extols the virtues of Cleveland.
Have you been through here? Have you ever been through Cleveland?
I haven't. I've been the closest I've been was really quickly recruiting years ago. I'd love to go back. Was years ago, and I managed to go to the NFL Hall of Fame, but I didn't even make it to the water, you know.
Well, Mike, next time you come, we'll take care of you. And if you're recruiting any kids from our, you're always welcome on our air if you want to try to get them to come out to Pullman. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I would like to. Up close tour of Cleveland.
You got it. We'll take care of you. We'll take you. The other Jeff Phelps will take care of you.
There you go.
Mike, thank you. Best of luck. We're big fans, and we've been big fans for a long time. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
All right. Mike Leach, thank you very much. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.